In the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus shows us the wonderful mercy of the Father. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here am I dying from hunger? I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone. So in a couple of minutes, I'm going to ask you all to do something for me, you know, indulge me. I'm actually going to ask you to close your eyes, but not yet, in a couple of seconds. I did this with the 8 o'clock Mass, and they all fell asleep, so it was wonderful. I give you permission to take a nap at Mass. But I'm going to ask you in a couple of seconds to close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, I want you to imagine that God himself is sitting right next to you. That God himself is holding your hand. That God himself is speaking the words that I will recite to you. Now, the words that I'm going to recite to you are a song that we're all very familiar with. I thought about singing it. Exactly. But I did not want to put you through the misery here in person that the weather is doing to us already. So I decided to just recite the words. I think it will have more meaning because you can get past my, just can't be able to sing. So at this time, I invite you to please close your eyes. Imagine God is now sitting next to you. God is now holding your hand. And God is now saying to you, come back to me with all your heart. Don't let fear keep us apart. Long have I waited for your coming home to me, to deeply live our new life. Don't let fear keep us apart. Long have I waited for your coming home to me. Those words have a very special meaning in my life, as I hope maybe it has a special meaning in all of your lives. Because when I hear those words, I truly hear God speaking to me, as I hope we all do. 33 years ago, my wife and I were invited to be on a marriage prep program at St. Michael's in Lowell. And what that was, you know, engaged couples who were getting married from other parishes came to St. Michael's for a weekend-long intervention of teaching them how to be married. Now, my wife and I had only been married for 5 years at that time, and luckily there were other couples of all different anniversaries. I said, how am I going to teach somebody to be married, you know, after 5 years? I've been married 38 years. I still don't know how to do it. So, but the weekend, is, you know, it starts on Friday night, and it ends on Sunday afternoon. And it involves a lot of talks from the married couples about finances and communication and many other important things of marriage. But the key thing to this weekend was a mass. So we had a mass over at the old convent. And part of that mass, at the end of the mass, was a reconciliation service. And I will never forget this day in those words that I recited to you, because they have such a meaning in my life. So we're up there and after mass, and the reconciliation service was designed, you know, to encourage the engaged couples to go to confession. Now, we're supposed to sit back as a team and let the engaged couples go first. So the priest finishes with the reconciliation service, a wonderful young priest. And he says, okay, there's going to be three of us in the rooms out there. You know, feel free to come out if you feel moved to go to confession. Well, as soon as the priest left the room, I jumped up. My wife says, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to confession. I just feel this need, hon. I have to go to confession. It's supposed to be the engaged couples first. The heck with them. I'm going. So I jumped up and I ran out into the hallway. And at this time, it's now priestly roulette. Which door am I going in? And I go in and there's that nice young priest who I know. I walk in and I say to the priest, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 10 or 15 years since my last confession. And I'll never forget it. All he said to me was, welcome home. Welcome home. Just like the words that I recited as if God were speaking directly to us. He's longing for our coming home. And he waits, and he waits. And all he wants to say is, I love you and welcome home. Don't let fear keep us apart, right? Why don't we go to confession? Because we're afraid. We don't want to publicly say, I messed up. I did this. I am a sinner. Look how bad I am. Look how awful I am. We let fear keep us from the love of God, to deepen our new life. God does not expect us to be perfect. There's only one perfect person in the world, and it ain't us. He hangs here on the cross. God wants us to come to Him in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in all our troubles. He doesn't want us to be out there squandering our life. He wants to welcome us home, as the Father in the gospel did today. He doesn't wait for us to totally come to Him in our perfection, but He runs to us, and He hugs us, and He kisses us with the kiss of peace, and He robes us in His glory, in His love, in His mercy. And that's what He wants from us. And that's what He wants to give us. He wants to welcome us home. And all we have to do is go to Him. Go to Him with our sin, our imperfections, not our perfection. If we waited for that, we would never go to Him. So don't let fear keep us apart. For long have I waited for your coming home to me. God bless.